There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen. Stop! Podcasting since 2005. You are listening to Gamer Tag Radio with your hosts Godfrey, Pete Rock, Paris, Pasta.
I won this one.
Come on. Welcome to Gamer Tag Radio, episode 539. This is your host Danny, aka Godfrey, and also this week we have Patrick in the house.
What's up, party people? How you guys doing?
I'm good, man. What's up with you?
Doing great. Feeling alive. Great games. Weather is somewhat getting warmer here, which is nice. Actually planning on going downtown after I finish recording tonight, which is the first time it's not been freezing enough not to go downtown. So looking forward to that. Change of pace, change of weather. But yeah, bring on this month and next month, man. The games are finally starting to come out in waves. I'm really excited.
And it's looking really, really
yes,
good.
Yes, it is.
We're going to talk about all that stuff later on. So, and also we have Pete Rock. Pete, you're back because last week, supposedly Comcast was down, but a lot of us were making fun of you last week. Here's our conspiracy. We think you were playing the Division beta offline.
How are you going to play it offline?
Knowing you, you would find a way.
No,
Dude,
much to my chagrin, I wish I could have been on. Like, I wasn't chatting with anybody. I was bitter, upset at the world. And honestly, if there was any day that, you know, that I would have called out sick, it would have been that. But no, I was out of internet from 8 p.m. I was actually playing the beta. And then an hour before, like, I think it was around 8 o'clock, West Palm Beach and all points north.
Gone.
Nothing. Like, I didn't have cable. I didn't have internet. I was back in the dark ages.
Man, gotta keep the paper books around, man, just in case.
Pretty much. I mean, I at that point, I was just like, all right, I'll just take a nap. I'll just go to bed. I'm done.
Good solution.
Actually, what we did was, since I still had my internal network working. We just, you know, I just connected to my internal Plex server. Actually, through the Xbox, through the media player, and as I've been doing since December, me and my daughter, it's like our little bonding thing is now we're catching up on Arrow. We're watching from the beginning. We're almost done with the first season. So
that's good, man.
It was good stuff.
All right, and this week we don't have Noel Paris joining us.
Good.
I wonder what he's playing.
Yeah, he's probably getting ready to play XCOM.
I know. Oh, yeah. XCOM 2 just came out.
Yeah.
I'm going to be downloading on my Mac and also my Steam OS. I'm going to be playing it. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little bit excited about the game. So I'm going to try it out.
Already preloaded and ready to go.
The last one was really good, Danny. There's a reason you should be excited.
No, I played the last one. The last one was pretty good.
Very hard. I'll give it that. I was very taken aback by how difficult the last XCOM was. So I think going into this one be a bit more prepared for that type of experience, because I don't think I really play that many type of games, but it challenges you. It's fun, but you got to put your thought into it.
All right, so head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag. You could find us there, subscribe, and make sure to share with your friends. I think the more people that, you know about GTR is going to help us spread the word about the show. Also, you can subscribe other places: iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and also now Spotify. You can follow us over there too. It doesn't matter if you have an Android device or iOS. The beta's done. Download the latest update of Spotify. You can follow us there. Give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Email us, fanmail@gamertagradio.com.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we have a lot of news, but let's start with this, because last E3, we went to Paris and Boston went to the Bethesda E3 press conference, and they got to see the new Doom game that's coming out on May 13th, 2016. They just released their first campaign trailer today, which also announced the release day and everything. Are you guys still undecided whether to buy this game or not? Because I'm
decided. On the fence. I'm probably not going to get the game. It just it doesn't.
No, I think I might. I watched the trailer. Yes, I know it's going to get repetitive. Yeah, I said the same exact thing last year during E3, but I'll give it a try. I played the past Doom games and I had a blast. I think this one's going to be decent. It's not groundbreaking or anything like that, but it looks decent.
Don't know. Go ahead. I'm going to be probably mimicking what Paris and the rest of us said over at E3 when we were talking about it. Mm-hmm. I just don't see the longevity of a full like calendar year of Doom. Same thing that has been said about The Division, and I know that's coming soon.
Well, we got to talk about that later.
Which we'll be talking about later on, of course, because that's my new D game, right?
Yeah.
I don't see that game having a lot of longevity. I mean, prove me wrong, please. Bethesda, you guys have done this, or not Bethesda, id. You guys have done this before. Prove me wrong. Actually, it is Bethesda that's publishing it, right?
They're publishing. Okay. Id is
so I was right.
The developer.
So it is the developer. So prove me wrong. Make this not the 2016 version of Evolve, where it gets a big splash release and then just disappears and nobody sees it or hears from it again.
Patrick,
wow,
very quick.
I'm shocked. Okay, first off, I am very excited about Doom. I've loved Doom since I was very young, even if 3 was kind of almost too scary at that age I played it, which was good. It was a good atmospheric game. But this is definitely
the
right...
What year was that again?
2004?
Oh, my God.
That was right there.
Oh, my God.
Like the, I didn't really start playing...
We're already old.
I didn't start playing
time.
Scary games until 2005 when the first Condemned came out. So I was there at the end. I was still being a total baby about horror games. But I made it through Doom 3. It was tough. It was scary, but it was a great game. But this, more importantly, Doom, the new one, this is a return to the form of what Doom 2 epitomized, which was fast, visceral, brutal combat and focus on you and how good you can be surviving the hordes of hell. So, I mean, for me, this is exciting because we have the technology now to render all of the stuff to look beautifully, visually intriguing, gorgeous. Hell looks great. Mars looks great. I will kind of defend the game because, like, you guys call it shallow on the surface. I don't really know what the full experience is going to be like, so I really can't judge it other than the fact I don't want to be shooting things in the face for hours on end. And me, that's fun if it's done in the right style. The game has the multiplayer component. It has the ability for the Doom maps ability to make your custom levels and have things like that. So I think it has enough content to justify the $60. I just think you're going to know right when it comes out whether or not you guys care or not. And including you guys are in the aren't excited about Doom. I am. For me, it's always a big deal when I get to play Doom again because there aren't really that many games like that, and certainly ones of this level of polish. And for me, I look at how Bethesda handled The Last Wolfenstein New Order and its DLC, the Old Blood.
Oh, it's a great game.
So I'm
That's
thinking, like,
game,
if it can appraise, Bethesda is working with id closely enough to have that same level of polish and, the scale of a single-player campaign and a shooter where you don't really expect much, but then it surprises you. I'm not expecting the same level of storytelling from Wolfenstein and Doom, but I think they'll take a lot of cues from what worked in Wolfenstein of how you do first-person storytelling, especially with Doom when you have a mute protagonist, so you don't need any story other than the cool levels, the cool enemies, the cool weapons. So for me, I'm excited. Everything I saw in the trailer looks like it's things I want to do, something I want to play. I'm excited for it, but I'm certainly not going to defend its longevity against you guys because, again, I think it's either you like killing demons or you don't. And that's fine if you guys find, especially other games coming out in May, like the new Mirror's Edge that are completely other ends of the spectrum. I totally respect people that make that the choice because, not everybody gets excited about Doom anymore. It's not, the big, that Doom used to be when Doom 3 was coming out.
But I am getting Doom, but it's not because of the multiplayer, because I know they were talking about that part a lot. during the press conference.
I think they'll take it seriously. I don't think it'll be ESL level, but they'll definitely treat it seriously enough to see if the competitive people will naturally come and pick it up.
Yeah, I mean, that part is fine. I feel like I want to play it because more of the campaign. I just want to have a blast and just have fun. And I know that it's not something groundbreaking or...
But again, we don't know. Like, I mean, I agree with you storytelling-wise, but there may be some really cool, unique first-person shooter element that you didn't expect. Like, you know, I think back to Prey, the first time I played that game. I had no idea what I was getting into when I played that game. And that game was an incredibly fun first-person ride with, you know, different perspectives on traditional first-person shooter mechanics. Another good example, the game Singularity that came out last generation. Another brilliant first-person game, that one made by Raven Software. That you basically, you know, you assume you're just going to be playing a standard first-person shooter, and because you go in with that those low expectations, they can surprise you with the level design or the creature design or the gun combat. So I'm excited for Doom. I don't think it will be a generic or dull game. I think it'll be tight with the controls, and all that matters is how they design the single-player campaign and what the multiplayer aspect is like. But regardless, I'm still there day one because I'm excited to go back into hell, kick some ass, and it just game looks like it's a lot of fun to play.
I mean, the campaign trailer looks pretty tight. Like, I like it, you know. Pete, that doesn't change your mind. You've seen the trailer, right? The campaign trailer that came out?
Yeah. It still does nothing for me.
Okay, fair enough.
Still not enough. Still not enough. But also today, the release of the new trailer of Mirror's Edge 2.
Whew, Catalyst.
Catalyst, God. You know, Mirror, yeah, you know what I'm talking
about.
Can
games be this beautiful? That's what I was thinking the whole time I was watching this trailer.
I mean, the story looks very interesting compared to the last one. It's a prequel to the last one.
So like that's why there's that weird area of like, I'm not sure what's going on. You're not supposed to. Yeah. The reason why
this is more interesting is the last game, it was just the experience of the way the gameplay was very, very different compared to like anything else that we played before. Yeah. And it was just very unique and different, you know, and it got my attention big time. And to me, to this day, that's like one of my favorite games that came out last year.
I agree, 100%.
A lot of people slept on it, but I think this one, they're making this game right. Now, the question that I have is about the beta, the closed beta they're going to have, which you could go right now, sign up. You could play for PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Hopefully, we'll get a couple codes. Hopefully, I'm working on that. But I'm excited. I'm excited about that. And I know we played it, Patrick, right? We played it during E3.
Last year. So much fun.
It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. What are your thoughts about the game so far? But Pete, you never get the chance. You got the chance to play it too or no?
At E3, yeah. I think we all played it at
E3.
Yeah. Oh, we all? Okay.
Yeah, we were all at the A booth at the same time.
We were so busy. I don't know if we did.
I remember playing Mirror's Edge. It's still a standout moment of last year's E3. Pete, you want to give your thoughts?
So I was excited, because, I mean, come on, it's Mirror's Edge. It's the game that I said prior to E3 was one of my most anticipated games of E3. And it, or actually, I don't know if it was the most anticipated or the one game that was going to be announced that people were not expecting. I don't know if it's going to be as good as the first, because they already broke that first person. You're looking at the world through her eyes. It's going to be a hard thing to get through. It's already been done, so it's just version 2.0. It's going to take a lot to just, and I think it may have already passed, you know, like that opportunity for the continuation of the franchise. Like, because the game was great, well, it was critically acclaimed. Whether it's sold as well or met expectations, I'm not sure. But after that, if the fact that they didn't release a new one a year or two later and there was such a long gap between the titles, I don't know. I'm kind of pessimistic.
So May, you're not getting none of those games. So it's no.
I'm probably still going to be playing Division, man. I'm probably still going to be stuck in New York playing the Division. Come on, man.
So wait, so this is going to be the Destiny for Pete this year?
I already said that. Come on. If you couldn't tell that from E3 last year, and the last 2 months, that's all I've talked about.
Yeah, that's true.
Fair. All right. For me, Pete, I think this long break was a great thing because the jump in technology from the last one to now blows my mind. I mean, I like to consider myself at the cutting edge of what games look like, but I watched that story cutscene And the animations for the characters and their faces and the dialogue is one of the best I've ever seen. It's up there like The Witcher 3 from last year. I did not expect
really good.
That level of narrative really quality. And now, since I did physically play the game last year, I already know, I think it's control-wise perfect. Because really, you had to only fix very little things from the gameplay engine of the original to transfer into the new engine. I felt the controls were perfect for what I needed to do. It was quick. It was snappy. It was responsive. So I had a lot of fun playing it. So now that I know that, you know, the gameplay is intact, applied to a new engine, you know, it looks prettier, telling a larger story with a more interactive narrative. I mean, it's hitting all the checkboxes for me, and multiplayer as well. I mean, this is big, you guys. I don't know. For me, you know, I'm definitely getting both Doom and Mirror's Edge because, like, that's two ends of the spectrum, and I'll have just as much fun in one as I do in the other. And really, I mean, like we said before, Mirror's Edge, nothing else out there like it. I think it needed that break to come back and have that whoa factor again. It's like, oh man, I forgot how awesome Mirror's Edge was. Here it is again. I think it'll work for them.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to take a short break, and once we come back, we have a couple more topics here. Alan Wake 2. Pete, Alan Wake 2. And also, Pete, hey. And also,
hey, Paris isn't here. I got a cover for him.
And also, we're going to be talking about The Division, which Pete is excited for that.
Woo!
Maybe some Nintendo stuff and more. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Hey, GTR, Patrick here, reminding you once again that Valentine's Day is right around the corner. And I gotta ask, have you gotten that perfect something for that special someone in your life yet? Well, if not, let me help you out with that. Check out Sherry's Berries. These are delicious, fresh, chocolate-covered strawberries delivered right to your door. And right now, they have a great deal going on. You can get 6 giant, ripe, fresh strawberries covered in white chocolate, milk chocolate, and dark chocolate delivered right to your door for only $19.99. That's 40% off what you'd usually pay for them. The best part is, too, is as a GTR listener, you get a special discount. If you want to double your order to a dozen, it's only $10 more. Just go to berries.com, berries.com, click on the microphone and type in the code GTR to automatically double your order for only $10 more. This is a great gift. It's memorable. It's bold. It's delicious. You're not going to get a better reaction out of anything else you pick up for that special loved one in your life this year. Check out berries.com and enter the code GTR.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we're back here. Pete, before we go to the next topic about Alan Wake and all these other games, very quick, I know you talked about, I think it was on our chat, you mentioned about NBA 2K16 devs sued over virtual tattoos. What's up with that? Like, why are they getting sued over tattoos?
Okay, so there's 8 specific tattoo designs in the game. One of them is the cloud and dove design that's on LeBron James's forearms.
Yes.
And then there's a butterflies tattoo from Kobe Bryant's arms. Mm-hmm. So there's a company called Solid Oak that's actually filing a $1.1 million lawsuit against Visual Concepts and Take-Two. Because these specific tattoos are copyrighted. So you can't do it anywhere else. It's only them are allowed to do advertising or do any kind of marketing or any type of portrayal of those tattoos. So
that's a little bit tricky though, because when a company makes a sports game, they need to make the game as real as possible, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if LeBron has a couple tattoos on his arm or whatever, they're gonna do the exact thing so he could look like LeBron James. Now, if they don't add that, it looks pretty fake.
But
so
how much time do you honestly spend looking at LeBron James's tattoos when you're playing NBA 2K16?
But there's a lot of gamers. There's a lot of gamers out there that are fans of just NBA games that I know that's all they play, or let's say Madden or so on. Right? They want this to be real. There's people that will, let's say, they throw the ball and they slow down the video because they want to see, and they're like, oh man, check out the tattoos, like check out this video, it looks real. You know what I'm saying? Like, now the thing is, if 2K doesn't do that, to me it would look really fake. I don't know. Am I wrong, Patrick? Okay, am I the only one?
So this fascinates me. I didn't even know this was a debate in sports gaming because clearly I don't play enough of them. But yeah, for me and my point of view, I feel like if you are a professional athlete, you are essentially part of the public domain because you appear on television all of the time.
Yes.
And to think that these companies that design these tattoos, I'm not arguing that those are their trademarks. That's legally their property. But to have the expectation that they will be paid every single time these players appear in a virtual video game, especially one like 2K, where it's one of the biggest selling games every single year, I just think that's preposterous because you open up the door to litigation from anybody who designs tattoos. And that's just
not only that, let's say LeBron makes a TV commercial, a Super Bowl TV ad, right?
Yeah.
It's LeBron James. So that means that these companies are going to sue.
No,
Samsung.
So there's a different way to do that. So LeBron James paid to have that tattoo, that artwork put on his body.
Mm-hmm.
That right there functions as a right to use license for that copyright. So if he happens to be on TV, it's not like they're sitting there and focusing on that tattoo. Come on, when you're watching a basketball game, unless you're watching it on the on like a 200-inch TV, you're not really going to see a lot of the intricacies of those things. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not like 1.1 overall. It's actually $150,000 per reported infringement, or every time that those tattoos are focused on or whatever in the game. There's 8 tattoos that they're looking at. It's not something that's the first. It's not the first time this has happened. I think it was a couple of years ago when UFC Undisputed came out. A tattoo artist by the name of Victor Escobedo sued THQ for $4 million for a one-time tattoo that was done on fighter Carlos Condit.
Jesus,
$4 million out of that lawsuit, he ended up only getting $22,000. Which, you know, it's still 22, you know, that's still 22 large, but it's not, it's a precedent that was set. Something can't be. Now, whether they're going to get the full 1.1 million, that's a totally different story. And I highly doubt that they're going to get that. They may get maybe 10, maybe 15 or something. I don't know if they're going to get the full 20 per, but that is a precedent and it's not something that hasn't happened before.
Oh my God, just find that ridiculous. I'm sorry.
If anything, it's free advertising for your company. Because if someone actually cares, let's be like, oh man, that's the first time I've actually got a good look at LeBron's tattoo. Let me go Google that. Who designed that? Oh, Solid Oak. Really cool. I'm thinking about getting a tattoo. I live in LA. You know, I should go to Solid Oak and get a tattoo from them. I mean, that to me makes way more sense than thinking that they can somehow come after every single company that virtually recreates these athletes.
Yep,
to get their
totally
money.
Agree.
Because, I mean, I look at some of these designs and none of them make me go, oh, wow, what is that? I got to know what that is. It's more like, oh, cool. That must have been an important part of LeBron's life or Kobe's life to get that. And I don't take it any farther than that. And the fact right. that the tattoo artists think that they somehow have that right, it just makes no sense to me. That's bizarre.
It's ridiculous. Boss, I know we're hype about Alan Wake.
Oh, yeah. Great game.
What happened a couple of days ago with Sam Lake? I know he talked about Alan Wake 2 and also about Quantum Break. Can you tell us what happened very quick?
Yeah, he actually did what you would call like a masterclass lecture in game design in Paris at the basically a science and center that they have. I won't butcher the name because I don't speak French. so I won't even attempt it.
It's okay. Danny does that all the time. It's not the first time. Come on. Let's do it.
He is the creative director of Remedy Entertainment, the guys that brought us Alan Wake and Max Payne back in the day. They've had a long track record. And of course, they're making the new Quantum Break coming as well. Mm-hmm. So we got a couple of really cool tidbits of information from this masterclass. So starting with Alan Wake 2, because we brought that up. In a nutshell, he said, you know, right after Alan Wake 1 was done, we immediately started work on trying to make Alan Wake 2 to happen because they thought that this was a great idea. We should capitalize on this. And they realized that they needed the right partner, the right funding, the right concept. And in a lot of ways, they just couldn't make it happen. Because for them, you know, unlike Max Payne, which is an IP they don't own anymore, that was a 2K IP, they own the Alan Wake IP. So to them, it's very personal. They wanted to take this seriously. They wanted to take the time and effort to make a really good sequel. And they realized they were making prototypes, they were doing demos, they were experimenting, and the more they did it, the more they realized we can't accomplish the things we want to do with this yet. Like, our technology and our ideas aren't here. So that's actually what led to Quantum Break, because some of the ideas they were rolling around in their heads, like for Quantum Break's concept of, like, you know, time manipulation was going to be a gameplay factor in Alan Wake 2, but they decided, let's just make a new game out of this because we're already working with Microsoft. We had a good relationship with them in the past with Alan Wake. Let's continue this relationship. So now that Quantum Break is actively in development, they're basically saying, you know, it didn't work then, but that's not to say, you know, we've been reiterating this idea of an Alan Wake sequel for a long time, and we think we have much better ideas now than what we had then. So I think the Alan Wake 2 that we're going to get is a lot better than the one we could have gotten a couple of years ago, which again comes back to my them not releasing a sequel to Mirror's Edge immediately. I think that was it worked out in the long run. It's always better them to wait, come back new technology, redesign the idea fresh, than just capitalize on what made money last year. So that's cool with me. So Alan Wake 2, we know at some point is going to come back. They care very much about this IP. The more interesting thing I found was them talking more about the Quantum Break development cycle and how in depth it was, and kind of surprised me of how much stuff they've been working on. Potentially the challenges they were talking about of having to co-develop their live-action television show along with the game because they're going to play off each other plot-wise. Mm-hmm. And the whole concept of, he says, Sam says, you know, too many games, the experiences that you have, the choices that you make are really, you're making that choice on top of the experience. You're not really involved in the experience. And he said the big part of the Quantum Break is you want the fiction to react to what you're doing. You want to have a unique story crafted around you, so that makes your interaction with the live action television show that much more impactful. And just talk about the whole thing, you know, a lot of people brought this before of, you know, what makes game design? You know, is it killing enemies? Is that gameplay? Or can you more balance the gameplay with the narrative? And he says the big reason they wanted to make Quantum Break is they wanted to make sure the narrative was just as well regarded and well polished as the gameplay, and neither one was overriding the other. So, you know, no point you ever felt like, oh, I'm tired of shooting these guys, wish this would be over. And, you know, it's like, oh man, I wish this cutscene would, you know, be not as long as it is. So it was just really cool to see, you know, how much detail they went into. You know, they recreated game elements in the world in terms of set designs, clothing, props, and they would take that and they'd recreate it on set and the live action show to make sure that it looked visually distinctive and it matched up with what you saw. And the cool thing is some of the special effects too, you know, typically you would outsource that. A lot of those special effects were created by Remedy in-house for the gameplay engine that were then applied to the show as well to make sure that it still had the exact same look and feel to it. And then talking more about the fact, you know, how they got Sean Ashmore on board. He was, you know, he was already on their cast list, but it worked out. His schedule was perfect. And then, you know, getting Dominic Monaghan in there as the brother role. And then it worked out perfectly because they'd known each other for a long time. They'd always talked about they wanted to play brothers in something. Perfectly got them. A little bit about, you know, how, you know, Littlefinger got involved as well. And it's just, it's the whole process is fascinating to me. You got to read this whole article that breaks down all the things they pulled up. But just, it's really impressive to me how Sam Lake has come so far and, you know, his push to make sure that the narrative in games is just as highly acclaimed as the gameplay aspect. And, you know, the more I read about the development cycle of Quantum Break, the more excited I get because it looks like a fun game. Yep, but knowing that they put this much time, effort, and thought into making sure that it was more than just a fun game gets me really excited. You know, I think this is going to be a really big game for both Microsoft and Remedy.
I think so too. Yeah. I think so too. Like, I feel that Remedy playing Max Payne and also Alan Wake, like those games to me, especially Alan Wake, that to me, that was a very special game when it came out for the Xbox 360. Mm-hmm. Like, I got it early and I remember taking it to Pete's house. I'm like, Pete, I want you to play this game. And even P was like, man, this is crazy. Like, the way, like the first few minutes was very, very scary, right, Pete? You remember that?
Yeah, I distinctly remember watching it and playing it in my living room. You wouldn't let me film any part of it.
But it was just unique, just the flashlight, using the flashlight to kill like the enemies. Alan Wake basically talking about his story. And then, dude, I played this game so many times. I even played like the most difficult setting on that game. And I finished it too. And I just love, like, I love discovering new things in the game and everything. And I'm excited for Quantum Break, man. I think that's a game that people shouldn't sleep on it. Give it a chance because Remedy, to me, is a very great developer.
Mm-hmm. Very much.
Don't sleep on it. I think this game is going to be very special for Microsoft for the Xbox One.
I think they're actually going to make, you know, a gaming television show work. And for me, that has not worked before. I think this might actually be the first one that gets it right.
Not even Halo, right?
Not even Halo. Yeah, I'll let Paris come back and shine in on his thoughts on Nightfall. But yeah, I don't think that any video game television adaptation has come close to making you feel how you feel when you're controlling a character in a game. It just has a different level of storytelling, and as opposed to passive entertainment and active entertainment. And, you know, this might be the first one to kind of really blend those in a meaningful way where you actually care about the story. You care about what's going on. It's not just, I'm playing this because I can control time. There's a lot of games that do that. Many, many games that have done that in the past. I think this is going to be something a bit more, and that gets me really happy about it.
CP, take a break from The Division.
Nope.
And try. I'm serious. Like,
not happening.
Give Quantum Break a chance. I feel like I don't want people to sleep on this game, man.
Give piece of chance.
You know what it is? The thing that frustrates me about the gaming community, people slept on Mirror's Edge. It took a long time for that game to finally break the 1 million mark. And also, Alan Wake, I feel that a lot of people slept on that game, you know. And now with Quantum Break, I don't want that to happen to this game, man. You know, like, if there's games that's coming out for the PlayStation or the Wii that is very, very special and unique, and it is a totally different experience, support it if you like it. Like, I don't know. Am I the only one that feel that way? Because yes. I don't know. Okay. No, I'm the only one.
You're not.
It's all you.
All right, whatever. All right, guys. We're going to take a short break. And once we come back, we have more topics and all that good stuff. So we'll be right back after this.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Gamers, there's so many games that's coming out this year. And we have all those times where we need a little extra money. Well, I have got a really easy way you could do it. Drive with Uber. Uber's a smartphone app that connects riders with drivers. So as a driver, it helps you to make extra money driving your own car. And it's totally flexible. You don't have to quit your day job to make more money, because Uber lets you make extra money on your schedule. Whenever you need extra money, just turn on the app and drive. A few hours here, a few hours there, it all adds up. And it's really easy to get started. First, go to drivewithuber.com to sign up for free. You could do it right now on your phone. Second, answer a few basic questions about you and your car and then get approved. Third, start driving. That's all there is to it. I told you it was really, really easy. The Gamertag Radio listeners, start enjoying the flexibility of working when you want and earning extra money on your schedule. Sign up to Drive with Uber. Go to drivewithuber.com. That's drivewithuber.com. Once again, Drive with Uber. That's UBER.com.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, we're back here at Gamer Tag Radio, episode 539, and we have more topics here. Let's talk about this, because last year, I was very surprised that Bethesda announced last year that they were going to have a press conference. I'm like, man, they're going to have a couple of games. This is big. But now they're going to have their second press conference on a Sunday once again. First is going to be EA at 1 o'clock, and then later that day, I believe it's during the evening, that's what Bethesda is going to have their press conference, and it's going to be on the same day as EA. So it's going to be June 12th at 7 p.m. Posse, I know you went last year.
Yep.
There was a lot of people that attended that event.
Huge event. It was wonderful.
So were you the issue that I had last year was there was a couple of games that got leaked out. So we had an idea what they were going to show.
Mm-hmm. But that's every E3 now. We can't.
Yeah, every E3.
That.
Yeah. But I just hope that this E3, especially this press conference, I just hope they have that surprise. Because I don't know. I just hate attending a press conference. I already know what's going to happen. It just kills the whole excitement, I think, in my opinion. But are you excited for this? For this year's Bethesda's E3 showcase?
Oh, yeah, very much so. I mean, I love Bethesda. One of my favorite companies out there. I'm actually really curious about what they'll talk about this year, because, I mean, it could be really big news. I don't know what they're working on in the background, but for all I know, I mean, they just put out Fallout 4. Doom will be out by the time that the show happens. So yeah, I mean, I'm actually more excited than I was last year, probably, because last year, at least I had some inkling of what was going to be announced. You know, even before the leaks, I had an idea of what they were going to talk about. This year, I don't really know at all. And that's actually more exciting because, you know, if they're taking the time to hold the press conference again, they must have some really big things in the pipeline. And that's great. I'd love to see more things from Bethesda.
So Doom will already be out by that time. Dishonored, yes. Dishonored 2.
So that'll be part of it.
Battle Cry. Elder Scrolls.
I don't know if that'll mean they'll continue the MMO more or we'll actually get another one.
It's Elder Scrolls Legends, if I'm not mistaken, isn't it?
Scrolls Legends.
Yeah, it's like an iOS Microsoft.
Oh, okay. Windows That's all you had to say. Never mind. Phone game. It's a phone game.
So that doesn't count as a game?
No, it does not. We've had this conversation years ago.
Are we going back to your to the elitist speak? Come on, man. It's still a game.
I don't like phone games. That's fine. I respect people that like them. I don't like them.
I mean, what else they could announce at this event? Because I'm, could it be a new Elder Scrolls?
It seems too soon. I mean, Fallout just came out.
But that's June 2015. Just last year, Elder Scrolls Online came out. I can't see it being a Wolfenstein.
No, too soon. They'll definitely bring that back though, for sure. That was definitely successful.
Fallout just came out, so obviously they're just gonna be spitting out, you know, DLC stuff.
Oh, maybe The Evil Within Part 2?
Hey, if there's a Breeders' Cup World Thoroughbred Championships, I'm all in.
Oh, God.
No, but at that point, I don't see anything else that, unless they've got something that they've been cooking for, you know, for like 2-3 years.
Well, I think they're going to announce like maybe a DLC, an expansion pack for
obviously
Fallout
for
4.
Fallout. That's the elephant in the room for them.
Yeah. So, yeah, but I mean, any guesses out, listeners out there? Any guesses, predictions? Please,
Rage 2.
Send it. Yeah, I'm about to say Rage 2 or Brink 2. Anybody? Anybody screaming for those?
I mean, send us an email, fanmail@gamertagweird.com, or give us a call 76-273-70-GTR and let us know your predictions, because honestly, I have no clue right now.
Mine is I want new IP. That would make me the happiest person.
Because
I'm already excited about Dishonored. I'm already definitely going to play that. But
you know what? I think it should be mixed. Have some new IPs and also have some games that the return of an old school game. I don't know. Not. I don't want this press conference to just be all new IPs. I don't know.
I mean, it won't be. I think it'll be a good balance, like you said. I mean, otherwise they wouldn't take the time to hold this huge conference for a couple of things. Now, here's the thing. I wonder if they'll pull what they did last year and try to announce and put out a game in the same year, which would be
like Fallout 4?
Like Fallout did. Not a game of that scale, but I wonder if they'll try to do that again. I mean, obviously, we know Dishonored 2 is coming out this year. Battlecry, 99% sure that's coming out this year. I'd be curious if they do a third game and be like, hey, there's another game coming out this year.
Well, they have to. They have to have that one big game.
They need some kind of announcement to shake up the industry. Something
and be like, all right, November of 2016, boom, like that, just like Fallout. Yeah.
I guarantee you the next Elder Scrolls, whenever that happens, will be done the same way. They'll announce it and then release it in the same year because that really worked well for them. But it won't be anytime soon. I mean, I'm sure they're already in pre-alpha or alpha making the next Elder Scrolls because they think ahead. But I mean, we ain't getting that anytime soon.
But why is this too soon? I just don't. Why is too soon?
Because they don't want to hurt sales of Fallout 4, especially if they're going to use part of that press conference to say, hey, here's what the DLC for Fallout 4 is, because everybody's already excited about DLC for Fallout 4. I haven't even finished Fallout 4 yet. So I'm not in that camp yet until I do so. But yeah, I know that a lot of people care about Fallout 4's DLC, certainly care about how far the modding is going to come throughout this year. Now the tools will be available for everybody, you know, really, really soon, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. For me, it could be anything, but I'm excited regardless. But you know, a new IP would be icing on the cake. So they already have a good year.
All right, so Skyrim is 5 years old now.
Yes,
that's too soon.
To Fallout, they don't put Fallout and Elder Scrolls against each other because they compete. They're competitors with each other.
When
they always
the
space those out.
When did Fallout 3 come out? Or New Vegas or any of those?
Fallout 3 was 2008, and then New Vegas was 2009. Or 2010.
They still have
2010.
Time.
2010. So that's a year after
Elder Scrolls came out.
I don't know.
Nick, I don't know. I think it's Elder Scrolls.
That would be great. You know what? Oh, I'd be as excited as anybody. I just don't expect it.
But you know what is possible? They already released Fallout 4. They're gonna make their. They already made their money. Yes, they will make money with their expansion pack. But if they release a brand new game, they'll make way more money.
Now remember,
than just release an expansion.
New
pack
Vegas for Fallout 4. At the end of the day was a glorified DLC.
I'll defend it. It was a better game than 3 and everything, but the setting and the story.
I don't know about that.
Mechanically, it was superior.
Even if you take that at face value, Skyrim came out November 2011. Mm-hmm. Fallout Vegas came out October 2010. So there's a 1 year gap. Why mm-hmm. not? Let that marinate.
I support you.
Okay, I'll throw this out there, both to you guys and our listeners. Would you guys rather have a new Elder Scrolls now on the Fallout 4 engine, or would you rather wait for them to develop a rendition of the new engine or a new engine entirely to make a brand new Elder Scrolls so it doesn't look like Fallout? Is that what you want? You just want Elder Scrolls in Fallout's engine, or you want to go, oh my God, like you did when you first saw The Witcher 3? Because that
they're
was a
not
going to
do. I just don't see well, them.
See, that's
know.
The thing. At this point, Fallout 4 is almost like Skyrim with a future mod.
More or less. Functionally, it's pretty much the same. People were complaining a lot the RPG elements got toned down a lot, certainly from New Vegas. New Vegas was a very plot, dialogue-heavy RPG, and then go into 4, and it's you can be a nice guy, or you can be a... But it's like Mass Effect. You're still doing the same thing at the end of the day.
You can be a nice guy, and you can be Pete. Just say it.
Yeah. All right, let's move on here. So
that's it.
So Nintendo had a great year in 2015, I guess. I mean, not perfect, but one of the things that I read that Splatoon, a brand new RIP, I was going to say RPG, I don't know why.
A brand new RIP, brand new RIP, great.
A brand new IP that came out last year. This game had over 4 million units sold.
Man, that makes me really happy for them.
Very happy. And I remember, I think DCD posted a video on Twitter that I think they had an event in Japan. One of the developers was talking about Splatoon and thanking the fans. And he started crying because the support that game is getting from the fans is crazy. Like I'm very happy to see that, especially from a new IP from Nintendo, because it's very, very hard to get the attention when it's like, you know, Super Mario and Zelda and mm-hmm. Star Fox, like those well-known games always getting support. But when it's a game like this that nobody had heard before, brand new, and the style is something that we've never seen before in gaming, is I'm so happy to see this.
The best part, too, is it's only selling 500,000 less copies than Smash Brothers is on the Wii U. That's crazy, like how well Splatoon has done. But the point is, Splatoon is doing almost Smash Brothers numbers, and that's wonderful because Splatoon is a really, really fun game. You know, I haven't mm-hmm. got to play it that many times at a friend's house, but the few times that I have, it's so much fun. Everyone's laughing, getting into it. You know, how many games involve a whole room like that when you're not, you know, in a dark room with headphones on, sucked into a store? Those games are great, but Nintendo knows how to bring everybody closer together. It's cheesy as hell, but it's mm-hmm. true. I mean, you get like a bunch of, you know, grown men together and you have the Xbox and the PlayStation and the PC, and you still all want to play the Nintendo because it's the most fun you guys are going to have sitting in the same room. And, you know, hats off to Nintendo for continuing to keep pushing that field, because that's what they're best at. I'd love to see their online mode get a total, you know, overhaul like everybody else on the planet would. But for right now, for what the Wii U is, they're doing a damn great job with it. Now, mm-hmm. tell me more about the NX,
I know they talked about the sales of, like, overall with the company. I mean, I believe profits declined like 36% compared to, like, the same quarter of a year ago. I think it's time for them to release this new console already. And even the 3DS is declining, like, with sales. I think it's time for them to just release something brand new for this year and just go all out. I mean, they're going to be releasing new apps for mobile phones. I mean, I'm excited for Pokemon Go. And the reason why I'm excited for that game is because I could take my nephews and just walk around the park, and it's us hunting for Pokemons in like real locations, you know, like it's something that we never seen before from Nintendo. So I'm really, really excited about that, you know, and especially that trailer they released last year got me hype. And I think this year marks the 20th anniversary of Pokemon. So they can have well, by the time you listen to this, they already aired the new Pokemon Super Bowl commercial. I don't know if you've seen that, Possum.
No, I didn't know that was a thing. Oh man.
Yeah, look it up. They're gonna air it during the Super Bowl. But the thing that I'm surprised is that during these press release, there was no mentions about NX. And I'm wondering, is there a reason why they haven't mentioned anything about the new console? Is it coming out this year, 2016?
It should. If I was them, I would. I'd pull Bethesda, announce it at E3, say it's out in November. Everyone loses their minds. It'll work.
You think that's the best way for them not to mention at all until E3, not even during GDC?
Yeah, I would skip GDC. I know GDC is a great conference, but for the average consumer, that hype is going to go so much farther at E3. And again, as we talked about in last episode, you know, if E3 is going the way of the dinosaur, you need things like this to kind of keep blowing the oxygen into the flames. Because, I mean, mm-hmm. This is why people tune in to watch either E3 live or, you know, read about it online, is things of this caliber. You're like, oh my God, what are they going to talk about? We don't know. That's what gets mm-hmm. us excited about it.
Well, very quick, the Wii U has sold 12.6 million units since November 2012. And wow, this is a lot. Nintendo 3DS has sold 57.94 million units.
It's kind of a big launch. Deal.
Since its launch, February of 2011. I remember when that handheld came out, everybody was talking crap about it. Too expensive, not that many great games. And look, through time, took a while, but they managed to sell a lot of units. More than any other console out there, period. So, please, Nintendo, release the NX this year, 2016. All right, so we're going to take a short break, and once we come back, we're going to wrap up the show and all that good stuff. We will be right back.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Hey, newsflash. Valentine's Day is this weekend. It's only days away to get your loved one a gift from Pro Flowers. And if you're tired of making decisions what he or she might want on Valentine's Day, let the pros at Pro Flowers take the guesswork out of it, and you get all the glory. So Pro Flowers is offering our listeners 2 dozen assorted roses plus a free glass vase for just $29.99. And if you want, you can upgrade to long stem roses with a cherry red vase and chocolates for just $9.99 more. All you need to do is go to proflowers.com and use the code GTR at checkout. Don't wait until the last minute. Don't wait until this weekend when it's too late. Send them now. Send them this week. Pro Flowers is quick, easy, and delivery for Valentine's Day is guaranteed. They're also guaranteed to last 7 days or your money back. It's a no-brainer. You can't beat the price or convenience. There's only one way to get this amazing Valentine's Day deal. Go to proflowers.com, click on the blue microphone in the top right corner, and type in the code GTR. That's proflowers.com. Click on the blue microphone and type in the code GTR. Don't wait. Order today. This deal expires this Friday at midnight.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right. Pete, one more thing before we wrap it up. There's been a huge controversy about The Division. I heard great things about the beta, and also I heard bad things. People talking about there was cheating and all that stuff. So I think, and you tell me if I'm wrong or not.
You're wrong.
I think, hold on. Right, I think that Ubisoft is probably going to release a open beta, and for them to fix the issues, the cheating or whatever it's going on with the game, and also manage to see the amount of people playing this game online, so there won't be no lags or no any issues once the game releases and stuff. So, do you think opening a public beta even if you play the closed beta, you think that's going to help before the game releases? Are you excited for that? I mean, you're excited for the game, but do you think that's a great idea?
I think it is, simply based on the fact that just because of the Division, the popularity of people playing the Division across all the platforms, PC, PS4, and of course Xbox, because they've got the beta exclusivity. Mm-hmm. People that played Rainbow Six during this time were complaining of online issues, and I wonder if that's as a result of everybody knocking on Ubisoft's servers because of the Division. And if that's the case, one more chance of putting a lot more stress on those servers as a stress test will mm-hmm. give Ubisoft another opportunity before launch to spool up a bunch of servers to handle the load, because the last thing that Ubisoft wants to do is have a bad experience on day one with a bunch of people jumping onto the Division. And that's, you know, just for the Division. They need to make sure that their infrastructure is able to handle this. We haven't seen a lot of heavy, heavy multiplayer games for Ubisoft since the old Ghost Recon / Rainbow Six days. Nowadays, with a lot more graphics and sound and effects and everything else, the bandwidth necessary to handle all of this is a lot more than it was 5, 6, 7 years ago on the Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, Ubisoft really needs to step this up if it's true. So this whole thing started because Xbox Italy, I believe, they put up a screenshot of a whole bunch of betas or games that were coming out, you know, the games that they were looking forward to play in February, and accidentally put up, you know, the 16th through the 21st, Tom Clancy's The Division open beta. So, and obviously Xbox, we get the, you know, 1 day exclusive, 24 hour exclusive on that.
Mm-hmm.
Ubisoft still to this day has not acknowledged, confirmed or denied. They've been pretty much keeping their mouth shut on this. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. If they do, I think it's a great opportunity. It might also be a little bit more of a little sales pitchy type thing, 'cause they're trying to do that. They're also got, they also have an agreement with Logitech. Logitech selling their new Orion Spectrum keyboard that's going to come shipped with a copy of The Division, and that the keyboard itself, it's an RGB. They're using their Roamer system, and it's got special presets based on The Division. It's also got, you know, FPS mode where all the keys are black except for the ones that you need to use. And during the preview event that Paris and I went to, we got mm-hmm. to see how there's a lighting setup function in the options screen for, you know, keyboards that support it. Obviously Logitech is the main one for them. So they're, you know, and that's about $160 or something like that. So there's a lot of tie-in leading up to this launch. And so obviously for people playing multiplayers, betas are always good because you want that extra opportunity to make sure that, you know, you're going to have that faultless, you know, solid experience on day one. So for me, I say yay.
Okay. So we're going to wrap it up, guys. You know, head over to gamertagware.com or play.it/gamertag. Listen to our past episodes and make sure to spread the word, tell your friends, say your family members, everybody about GTR. You can also subscribe through iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, or Stitcher, and also other podcast websites out there. You can subscribe and find us there. Give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or email us fanmail@gamertagradio.com. This Thursday, I'm going to have an interview with Todd Van Lulling. He's the writer at Huffington Post. We had a great conversation about his piece that he basically solved the biggest mystery ever in gaming. Did Michael Jackson work on Sonic 3 soundtrack? We talked about that. And a very, very interesting interview. You guys got to listen to this. And also Fan Mail this Thursday. I can't wait for that. Pete, you ready for Fan Mail this Thursday?
Fan Mail.
Yes, we couldn't do that last week. we just sent fan mail straight to the questions and stuff. So I'll see you Thursday. Peace. We're out.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week.